going to talk about sexual harassment this hour. First, dealing with how the media are covering the allegations leveled against GOP presidential candidate Herman Cain. And after 7:30, we'll talk with a guest who says sexual harassment is a big problem in our schools. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is coming up on 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, November the 8th. Herman Cain will hold a news conference today to address the latest allegation from a Chicago-area woman who held a news conference yesterday with her attorney, Gloria Allred. Sharon Bialik says that Herman Cain groped her and provided other graphic details about an incident when she sought his help in getting a job while he was still with the National Restaurant Association. Herman Cain denies the charge and denies he has sexually harassed anyone, including the others two of which received settlements from the National Restaurant Association. The story was leaked to the website Politico a couple of weeks ago, and the women were not named. Specific details were not revealed. Cain claimed that he did nothing wrong, and he blamed the media for blowing the story out of proportion and for dwelling on it unfairly when he had already addressed the issue. And he was getting testy with reporters over the weekend.
Mr. Cain, the attorney for one of the women who filed a sexual harassment complaint against
you. Don't even go there.
No gossip.
Can I ask my question?
No.
Because no gossip.
Can I ask a good question?
Where's my chief of staff?
I'm right here.
Please send him the journalistic code of ethics.
So is Herman Cain right? Are the media blowing this out of proportion? Are they treating him unfairly? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Jessica McBride, senior journalism lecturer at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much for joining us. So how do you think the media are doing in the coverage of this case?
Well, I'd like to take this in pieces. For one, you had raised the question of whether the media were blowing this out of proportion. So I do want to take a step back and say, you know, for example, there are other political stories going on in the country today. There are actually elections in certain parts of the country today, and it would be nice, certainly, if the media were talking about some of those political issues with as much fervor and, you know, ink spent. For example, there's a collective bargaining law that the voters are going to weigh in on Ohio that was modeled after the one in Wisconsin, which is obviously that could have huge ramifications if the public votes that down in Ohio. And in Mississippi, there's a major anti-abortion constitutional amendment on the ballot relating to the definition of personhood. So that would be sort of number one in terms of, you know, the proportion of coverage given to, you know, mm-hmm. an issue like this. Going back to the specifically germane, you know, question, though, as to are they covering the Herman Cain situation unfairly, I think it's getting tougher and tougher to make that case, you know, and largely because there's now a specific accuser who's come forward with her name, you know, an image attached to very specific allegations. They're job-related, allegedly. And I think also, you know, obviously you have the notion of settlements. So it's a little bit difficult to argue, I think, that the media would not have, say, covered settlements that were made against, say, another candidate or a Democratic candidate. I know some on the right are making the political double standard argument. So I think that makes it more of a story. I mean, it's harder to argue that it's not a story, the media somehow being unfair to him. I would say that you could have made that argument in a stronger way as to the genesis of this story and when it was first reported. I mean, it bothers me, I guess, as a journalist, educator, that the initial stories, and still three of the allegations, are built solely around anonymous sources, and we don't know any of the specifics about them. And there was one conservative blogger who had said, you know, that these allegations, at least as to the anonymous people, boil down to, quote, "I won't say what he did, but trust me, he's guilty of wrongdoing," end quote.
Yeah. And we wanted to do something on the media coverage before we knew that there was going to be a news conference with a fourth woman making her allegations public. So we didn't Yeah, we didn't know that. We wanted to talk about this because of Herman Cain saying, hey, I asked and answered. I said I'm not, and I want to move on to the other issues, and telling reporters over the weekend that he was no longer going to talk about it. And some of his supporters actually came out with an ad, too, that criticized the media for coverage and, in essence, bringing back that saying, this is a high-tech lynching that Clarence Thomas. Is this, are there parallels to that?
Well, for one, we knew Anita Hill's name. You know, she came forward and she sat there and was on television and was at hearings and she made specific allegations. And so, and now we have this one woman who's doing that. Obviously, with somewhat different nature, but as to the, you know, the other women and the question of the journalistic coverage based on solely anonymous sources without specifics, I mean, I was trying to think of actually a parallel case in which, you know, there were allegations made against somebody in a presidential contest in particular where it was all based on anonymity and no specifics whatsoever. And I was having a very hard time coming up with that. I mean, we could certainly argue other parallel cases such as Bill Clinton or Clarence Thomas, as you did, whatnot, but they faced named accusers who were alleging very specific allegations. Now, I suppose the difference here is the notion of settlements. So it's an interesting media question. I don't think it's a simple media question because you're the reporter, you find out there's these settlements, and Politico had said they weren't reporting the women's names for privacy reasons. So, I mean, these are women that also supposedly did not come forward. I'm assuming they're not political sources, anonymous sources. That would be a bigger question. So, you know, it would also be arguably wrong for them to sort of out these women's names, I would think. And also they're bound by settlement agreements in which they're supposed to not talk. So then if you're the media, do you not report that information about a presidential candidate? I think that's a tough case to make.
Yeah.
But if you're him, his supporters, you're saying, hey, doesn't he deserve to at least, you know who's accusing him and of what? I suppose you could argue if there were settlements, then he probably does know and should address it. And he's giving a news conference later today. I think we're going to see the narrative shift a little bit from the accusation that there's this double standard against him and it's media bias, and it's going to shift a little bit more now to, well, what is his account? You know, did he give this woman an upgrade in her hotel and do this and this, make the comment about giving her a job and all of that?
Now, just in general, some on the right have said that the media generally ignored different allegations of sexual scandal for a lot of Democratic politicians until they could no longer ignore them. But they are really going after a conservative a candidate with gusto. Do you think there's anything to those charges?
Right, and going after him again based on largely anonymous sources other than this one woman. I don't know. I mean, I guess you can trot out specific examples and make an argument. They're all going to be a little different. John Edwards comes to mind, you know, the National Enquirer reported that first, but of course there weren't allegations there of sexual assault, right? So it wasn't unwanted.
Mm-hmm.
There weren't settlements. There weren't multiple women with settlements. You know, I think it's, you could also argue it's different. Of course, conservatives would bring up the Juanita Broderick case, probably Kathleen Willey with Bill Clinton. It's obviously impossible to argue that wasn't covered, but I mean, it is a fact that Bill Clinton was fairly credibly accused of rape by Juanita Broderick, and it's sort of interesting. Maybe by then there was Clinton fatigue, and so, you know, that one kind of went away from our collective consciousness. I don't know. Obviously, Ted Kennedy, you know, he left a woman to die in at Chappaquiddick, which is more egregious. Of course, you can't really argue that that wasn't covered. There were books about it and ruined his presidential aspirations. At the same time, he was regarded, you know, and propped up by the media as an elder statesman. So, I mean, I think you can make the case. I think on the other side of it, though, I think you could make a case that the coverage ties into racist caricatures of black males.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think actually conservatives might have a point there, although it's a little ironic that they're playing that card when they like to criticize people for playing the race card. But, you know, I teach a class called Race and Ethnicity in the Media, and we look at historic caricatures of different ethnic groups. And, It's a very defined racist caricature in media imagery in American culture to sort of paint a prominent African-American male as oversexed, in particular with in juxtaposition with white women. This has gone, you know, back years and years. It ties into that in a sort of unsavory way, as did the Clarence Thomas situation. It reminded me, actually, interestingly, also sort of the Harold Ford Jr. ad. I don't know if you remember that. He was an African-American candidate for the Senate in Tennessee. And interestingly, that ad was run by, I believe, the Republican National Committee, and Democrats criticized them of, you know, trafficking in the same racist caricature of black men, because it featured a white blonde woman, you know, as a Playboy bunny making sort of a sexual come on to him. Yeah. So, I mean, that's an unfortunate part of this. I'm not saying that the media shouldn't cover this. Perhaps Kane's hiding behind that, you know, historic caricature, you know, and the criticism of it. But
that was
it's there.
That was that Call Me ad.
Yes.
Jessica McBride is our guest. She is a senior journalism lecturer at UW-Milwaukee, and we are talking with her about how the media are covering the sexual harassment allegations against GOP presidential candidate Herman Cain. Herman Cain's supporters are blaming the media for blowing this out of proportion and for dwelling on it, for having a double standard, and we're wondering what you think about the coverage of this. Is it do you think the media are or are not handling this very well? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. It's going to be a cloudy day, rainy statewide, some snow in the northwest, highs today in the upper 30s to around 50. Then we have lots of snow coming for parts of Wisconsin. A winter storm watch has been posted for portions of west central to far north central Wisconsin tonight through tomorrow afternoon. There is the possibility of 6 inches of snow for west central Wisconsin. 2 to 4 inches is likely farther to the west. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Let me say one thing. I'm here with these doctors, and that's what I'm going to talk about. So don't even bother asking me all of these other questions that you all are curious about, okay? Don't even bother.
It's a good question, though.
But are you concerned about the fact that these women do want to...
What did I say?
...wants to come forward? Are you concerned about...
Excuse me. Excuse me.
That was a Republican presidential candidate, Herman Cain, getting upset with reporters who were asking about the sexual harassment allegations. Now Herman Cain says he will be holding a news conference later today to address the very latest allegation. Another woman who says she was sexually harassed by Cain did have a news conference yesterday and accused the presidential candidate of groping her when she was trying to ask him for help to get a job. And we are talking about the media coverage of this. Jessica McBride is our guest. She's a senior journalism lecturer at UW-Milwaukee, and we wonder if you think the media is doing a good or not so good job in handling this story. Before we go to the phones, Jessica, Liz Cheney was on Face the Nation on Sunday, and Bob Schieffer asked her about what she thought about all this, and she was disgusted with the media, saying that this was the media should not be spending the amount of time it was spending on this particular issue. Bob got a little bit defensive, and she said, you know, it's the media chooses what issues to cover, and she didn't think this was a good choice, at least the amount of attention it was getting. And Jessica, you feel as though maybe that might be, she might have a case there?
Well, I mean, I'd like to know more about his tax plan, or, you know, so, I mean, I do have a problem in general with how the media cover presidential politics. If we just take a big step back and we look at sort of the horse race paradigm through which they cover presidential politics versus, you know, intellectual discussions on the issues, for example, it's a bit disturbing how they keep finding a new front runner in the Republican primary, and it's Bachman, and then it's Perry, and they're anointed, and then it's Kane. It's almost like the media's decided they're going to win for sure, and the attention span is so short that, you know, 2 days later, they're torn down, and it's almost like the media is sort of constantly looking for a new lead or something fresh or a new narrative. So, you know, I mean, it's probably not the exact point she's making, but it, that would be my thoughts on it. I would also say that whether or not there is a double standard, we agree or disagree with that, we agree or disagree with Liz Cheney, it's a political reality that a large portion of the population thinks that way and thinks there is and doesn't trust the media and believes that the traditional media, so to speak, does have a political bias. And I think it speaks to perhaps the great fracturing of the media landscape that's occurred since the repeal of the Fairness Doctrine and the advent of the Internet and all of that, that you have all these sort of competing media narratives going on. And so perhaps even calling it the media is a bit misleading, as if it's a monolithic force. They're sort of competing medias, and some of the medias are political media. They're partisan media, but a large chunk of our population sees that as news. It's where they get their news. They get their news from conservative talk radio, and they believe this. And so I am not sure that this is going to hurt Herman Cain in the Republican primary. I mean, as more women come out with putting their names attached to these accusations of sexual assaults, maybe that will start to shift. But so far, he's up in fundraising, you know, dramatically in the last 4 days. And he's tied with Mitt Romney in the polls. And there was some polling before this latest woman put her name to it anyway, saying that I think 7 of 10 Republicans were in trouble by this. And I think it's partly because they're getting their narrative about this from other places. They're getting it from people like Rush Limbaugh, who are downplaying it or painting Herman Cain as the victim of the big bad liberal media. Although Rush Limbaugh, you know, he referred to the woman as a blonde bombshell, which I thought was sexist. So.
Yeah. Let's go to John in Onalaska. Hello, John.
Good morning.
Morning. What do you think?
Well, I'd like to just talk about a couple examples. I thought that the press might have been overextending the Gary Hart matter with Donna Rice back in the late 80s when he ran for president, and that was a consensual type of impropriety, sexual impropriety. With Clinton, arguably it was consensual. Arguably it might not have been, but I don't see any double.
Not the Broderick case, though. I mean, some of the Clinton things, but right.
But I don't see any double standard in the press wanting to find out about unwanted sexual advancements. We're talking about the President of the United States, and I'm not sure what the double standard is supposed to be, whether it's on a racial basis or whether it's on some other political party basis or what. But I see absolutely no a double standard here at all, and I think that the press has a duty to investigate something when the allegation is unwanted sexual advancements.
No, actually, I agree with the caller on that. I think that's a really key distinction when it comes to this case, and that goes back to the notion also there's settlement. So it's not just some woman coming forward years later who for the first time is alleging. Although I don't think the woman who came forward yesterday was one of the settlements, but nonetheless, the settlements changed the notion of this. You know, they came forward at the time. I guess settlements aren't an inherent indication of wrongdoing or acceptance of it. I suppose a company or association might settle just to, you know, not for the lawyer's fees or something, but it's certainly an indication of something. He makes a good point. You know, there was heavy coverage of Gary Hart, and it wasn't an accusation of sexual assault. So. Mm-hmm. If we're going to trot out examples of where there, you know, something was covered more or less, we probably should be looking apples to apples for allegations of unwanted sexual conduct.
Yeah, Matt in Oshkosh. Hi, Matt.
Good morning. I have just two points to make. One is that this is being covered completely differently by the media than the Bill Clinton incidents. When Bill Clinton was covered, the media actually tried to make arguments that this should have no effect on how he would run the country. And they tried to dismiss it that way. And here it's totally disqualifying Herman Cain in the media's eyes. And the other point is simply that Bill Clinton has already set the standard for this type of behavior in this country. And according to that standard, Herman Cain is he's small potatoes.
All right, Jessica McBride?
Well, there was endless media coverage of Bill Clinton, and I mean, I suppose we could pick apart the media coverage and find examples of them trying to argue it away and not. I mean, I remember when he was running, and people thought that Jennifer Flowers' accusations would knock him out, and she wasn't accusing him, if I recall correctly, of sexual assault. So,
right.
You know, I mean, I think the Bill Clinton, the better analogy is Juanita Broderick was the woman who accused him of rape, which I don't think received, you know, the massive coverage, you know, and Kathleen Willey, but it was covered. I mean, it was Clinton's sex life was covered endlessly.
Let's get a quick last question. Becky and Madison, we're almost out of time.
Hi. I guess how does this all affect the whole idea of you're innocent until you're proven guilty? You know, I don't, certainly there's been accusations, but if I was accused of stealing something from someone, yet I didn't do it, but someone came forward and said I did, just because I'm running for public office, all of a sudden now everyone is apt to accuse me and say, yes, he did this.
Yeah. How does this affect that in a minute?
Well, yeah, it's kind of the question of did you beat your wife and then maybe you didn't, and you say no to the media. Now the story is that you said you didn't beat your wife, and now everyone's wondering if you beat your wife. I mean, it's sort of unfair, particularly when people are anonymous. Look what happened with the state Supreme Court. You know, originally we had this accusation that Prosser had put Ann Welsh Bradley in a quote-unquote chokehold. It was based on anonymous sources making general allegations. When people later put their name to it and gave specifics and we got all those police reports, it looked a little bit different. You know, there was context. It wasn't exactly the way it had seemed.
Yeah.
So I think, I believe people should be able to face their accusers, even in the media arena, and know exactly what people are saying they did. I mean, it goes back to that notion of, I won't say what he did, but trust me, he's guilty of wrongdoing.
Well, Herman Cain will be facing the cameras again today on this issue, and I assume the story isn't going away right away. Jessica, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Jessica McBride, Senior Journalism Lecturer at UW-Milwaukee. We will talk about a new survey that's out about the problem of sexual harassment in our schools coming up after we check the latest news.